All right. The most wonderful thing happened to me this week. This week was a bizarre week in many ways, and we all have those. And we have this big mega Super Bowl shutdown that we have, and it's one of those deals where you have 100 hours in about 5 days, that kind of thing, do the math, and it's just a long week, and you don't see any end in sight, and it's just tug here, there, and yonder. And anyhow, in the midst of all of that, God is still present. God is still there with us, even in our most chaotic times. And God this past week spoke to me, and I was just studying. You know as well as I do, I'll tell you again, for those of you that don't know, I get my Sunday morning messages, and I get my studies from God. I hope I do, and I ask the Lord to lead us in a direction that we may need to be in. But on Sunday morning, I pray, God, I said, God, you know who will be there, and God, you know what they need. So, Lord, if you'll take that message and you'll put it in my heart, and you will stand here, because, see, when I stand in the pulpit, I always see something you probably don't. And when I stand in the pulpit, my Father stands in the pulpit here with me, and His hand is on my shoulder, and He uses me as a vessel, and He preaches His gospel through His servant. That is the way the Word of God should be brought, is from God, from heaven, and brought down to man so that we can also do the will of God, not only in heaven, but in earth, and that is now, the present time. That was the model prayer that we found Jesus saying, giving us an example to live by. But I see where God was working this week, and I was standing there at the back of my truck, and Brother Randy Ward came to me, and he very quickly, I'm going to condense it, he come to me, and he's just a wonderful individual. He lives there in Compton, Arkansas, and he's here with us this morning, visited with us last week, and he'll be the one at the end of service. He and his wife, Robin, will be getting baptized. But to give you just a little bit on that, let me give you something real quick. I was standing there just getting off the phone, finishing up a bologna sandwich. And that's all we eat this week. I know I gained 50 pounds, and 49 of it was in bologna. And so I was there, and just getting done with that, and the Lord sent somebody by, and Brother Randy comes by, and I've seen him several times before, but just never really got to know him much. And you've seen him on the job during the paper mills for years gone by. And anyhow, he comes up to me, and he says, Brother, long story short, I want to get baptized. I've been saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in my heart, but I want to get baptized. And, you know, all these things start stirring in my soul. Even the baloney is moving, you know. And I'm standing there, and I'm not saying anything. I want him to speak. And he says, I travel around. He said, you wouldn't know how difficult it is back at home to find a church that is suitable for us. Sometimes it's hard to find a church that preaches and teaches and expounds on the true living Word of God. And that's what's going to lead so many people away from the kingdom of heaven, is these messages that are to tickle. See, America has made another God other than the one of Israel. We've made a God who suits our needs and makes what we do okay, and that God will not save your soul. But the God of Israel will save your soul. And it is He that we have to live by and abide by and love and surrender to. He and He alone. And we were there, and he said, but so many ministers I've asked, traveling, wanting to be baptized, won't baptize me. They don't know me. And just a little message come down from the Lord, you know. And I didn't have to know Him. I said, Brother, I don't have to know you. I just need to know that you know Him. That's all I need to know, is that you know Him. That's all we need to get straight here. And it's amazing what you can do on the tailgate of a Ford truck. Most of the time it's hooked into a Chevy, pulling it out of the bog. I'll stop right there. But the thing is, but you can eat bologna, and you can talk about Jesus Christ, And people can be further advancing the kingdom of heaven because we said, yes, Lord, instead of no, Lord. You see, because my God is a forgiving God. A God who loves each and every one that's present here today in spite of your ugly ways. Amen? Aren't you so glad of that? Well, today I wanted to be as patriotic as I could because I love patriotic things. I love to see those images of the soldiers, and I've never been a soldier to America or to our flag, but it does something to me when I see the flag flying. Just this past week, there were so many things I got to share with you. I was standing there looking outside of a paper machine wall, wishing I was with my lovely wife and children, and I just couldn't seem to get to them. That's one for the preacher. And the other thing is, I got there and I looked on top of the building at the highest point, and there was an American flag flying at the top of the highest point of the mill. And you can't do nothing but just stop sometimes and look at that flag. And that flag, though I have never done anything to be a part of it, but I have been one who respects and honors those people who have shed their blood, who have served in any office, in any way, who filled a spot. Maybe it wasn't on the front line of battle, but because you served, we were not in battle. Amen? And because of that, I say, I salute you, and I say thank you for what you've done. So the title of this message this morning is A Chosen Soldier. So if you have your place with me this morning, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 3. Though therefore, this is Paul talking to Timothy in this epistle, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Please make note of that verse. Do not get entangled in the wars, in the parts of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. This message today is this. I do not know what it means to be a soldier of the United States of America. But I do know what it means to be a soldier of that flag right there. The royal banner. And though some of us may not have had the opportunity, there are those who wanted to get in the war but could not, perhaps because of health reasonings or other reasonings. There are some of us, you're so glad that they never called you. Maybe because of the different time that was going on, that era in your life. But I'll tell you, there's not anyone who can contest here today in this building. Because they did that, we are free today. And we are able to live in a great nation. And I don't want you to turn your back on this nation, even as Christian soldiers. Just because there are sin and wickedness in this life, do not turn your back on the good that has been done in the United States of America. God has blessed this nation. God has brought us so far. This is now the best country to live in the world. I know things are rapidly changing, but the same God who blessed this nation still sits upon His throne. He is not dead. He's not going anywhere. And He is still looking over His children, no matter where we are. Don't get entangled with the things of this life, but keep your focus on the kingdom of heaven. That is why we work. That is why we serve. That is why we believe, in order that one day we will be partakers of that blessed place. Now go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and find verse 26. We are to the point that we know that God has chosen soldiers. Those who are asked to serve Him no matter what. But look with me at a soldier in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, which is Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he asked it in the question form. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For this life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He's asking one question after another. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I pray this morning as I stand in your presence that you would fill me, God, with the Holy Spirit. Father, that my bones would be saturated with his presence. Oh, God, that each and every individual that takes breath in this place, oh, God, this morning would just be under submission to the movement of your word. Father, would you enlighten us, illuminate this word, oh God, that we may see. God, that our hearts this morning will understand and be able to comprehend this blessed word. God, that as we look and examine one of your veterans of the cross, of the Lord Jesus Christ in Philip, oh God, that we may take note, oh God. God, you've told us in your word that these things are for us to learn from, to learn of. And God, this morning, may this be a stepping stone in our path in which you have called us to be. Father, this morning, that we have been chosen. Lord, not only Jew, but Gentile. God, Lord, we have been given an opportunity to not perish in our sin. But God, because you live, because you give your Son to us, God, because you are love and the light of this world, God, we are able to receive all that you have. You've paid the ransom. We've been redeemed. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we've been filled until the day of redemption. And Father, this morning, may we see the truth. God, may we see your presence. God, may we be able to say, God, you're so good. And Lord, maybe, just maybe, I can do what you've called me to do. Just maybe for the time that is given to me, you can look at your soldier and say, well done. Father, will you move now? Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Lord, in his name I ask, the name above all names, I want to share with you just a couple things about a soldier. In some way, somehow, that perhaps maybe the Holy Spirit of God could grab your attention for a minute. your undivided attention would be in this direction. That God some way, somehow could settle the dust and settle those things that cloud our judgment. That God may be able today, through you, show His miraculous works and wonder. You know, that's what we're lacking, I think, above all things. What changed most people and communities is when they saw the works and wonders of God. It is then and only then that they changed, because they saw something in them that really intrigued them, gathered their thoughts, their whole attention. And this morning, if you would be so kind to give me your undivided attention, and let God speak to your soul. And what you do with it from there, that's totally between you and Him. I have nothing. I can't stand there for you on that day. See, I'm a soldier of the cross. But when your name is called, I can't go in the room with you anymore. As your pastor, I can't go in there and stand beside you, hold your hand, or even pray for you. But you need to understand there comes a time that it's just you and you alone. So you can take this and do with it, take it or leave it. That is certainly your choice. That's certainly your right. As a full-blooded American, you have that privilege. But do with it what you may. Number one, to be a soldier, you must be able to take orders. Look with me in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Remember these words. Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. I want you to leave where you are accustomed to being. I want you to leave Jerusalem. And I want you to go unto Gaza, which is desert. Desolate. There's not a lot that grows in the desert. But to leave a place and go to another is very difficult. And I'm not just talking about physical locations. I'm referencing to spiritual location. It's easier for you to move your house sometimes than it is to move your soul. But I see here where a soldier of the cross, and believe me this morning, if the blood of His Son has been applied to you, making atonement, which is at one with God, then you are a soldier. But like many soldiers, not all are committed to the cause. Some even go AWOL. Some leave their post. Now, a soldier must be able to take orders. Let me give you the problem with that. To take orders, you must be obedient. To take orders, you must be humble. For someone to tell you what to do, it takes humility. And not most full-blooded Americans have that in them. Pride. It is pride that goeth before the fall. Pride will put your nose in the sand. God said it'll happen. I believe it. It's just a matter of time. But I see here where you look at this for a minute. Think about your own circle of life. Forget about where you're at just for a moment. You tell me that it isn't difficult to give orders and they be received and taken without any question and they go. Try it with your children. You want to know what the favorite phrase is of when you tell somebody what to do? What first? Huh? Where's my amen? What first? Now, other parts, other states, they say, what for? But around here, they say, what first? Can I submit to you this morning that God doesn't want to hear your opinion. God doesn't want to hear your advice. He's got it all figured out. And when God tells you as a soldier to go and leave Jerusalem and go to the desert, guess what our response would be?
What prayer?
What prayer, God? God, you've got to really convince me as one of your children. Now, God, you only died for me. You've only rescued me from hell. You've taken me. You've given me unmerited favor, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've saved my soul. Lord, you have made me healthy. You've given me children. You've given me riches. God, in other countries, I live like kings in America to live in this blessed country. But still, God, I got to know. God, I know you're perfect. God, I know you don't make a mistake. God, but I still got to know what for. And we question His counsel. And who am I to question God? Who are we as children to question our parents? They have been given to you in order that they will instruct you in how to become men and women. But still, it's why. If my daughter ever starts with a why, I pretty well just got to walk out the room with a smile on my face. You know why? You want to know why now, right? Because why never ends, and it never wins in nothing else but why. She asked me this morning, Daddy, why are you driving your work truck? I said, because Mama's got my other truck. Well, why? I said, because her van's running hot. Well, why? I said, because the radiator's got a leak. Well, why? I said, baby, I don't know. Why? It's never ending. And it's the same thing with God. And you know it as well as I do. Listen, she's one of my children. But you as believers are the children of God. And this is what happened. We want to know why, but you know why we ask why? Or what for? We're stalling. We don't want to go anywhere. So this is just a good conversation. This is a way to stall and make more time so you're still remaining in the place in which you are. And I tell you this morning, you want to know what's wrong with that picture, I'll tell you. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And if you're asking questions, it's because you're not trusting in the Lord. The truth hurts. It's easier to preach it than it is to live it, but it can be done. If I am asking God what for, I am looking at the circumstances. All I see is a desert, desolate road. And God says, you go. An angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, arise and go. And what does this veteran of the Lord Jesus Christ do? He gets up and starts back. That is what we need. That is what we need. But you ask somebody next time you get a chance, go do something for you. Well, why? We run a business. There's about 30 people that work with us. And you can go ask them to do something. They say, what for? Truth be known, it's not being rude, but you have employer and you have employee. If you don't like where you're working, you need to leave. Is that true? But there shouldn't be a problem always. Well, why? Well, why me? I can't get past that, nor do I need to go there any further, because that'll boil your blood. Let's stop right there. Okay? Now, but I can only even try to comprehend how God feels when such a wretch as I looks up at the Father of the universe and says, why? I don't think that's where I need to be, but God's asked you to go. So God's made a mistake. God messed up. So He's not perfect after all. Okay. So now I can really believe that I'm going to talk about this thing that I talked myself out of. I'm going to ask Him why long enough till I saw that He'll change His mind. God's going to change His mind? He's not perfect? Oh, He's going to send you somewhere that you're going to get hurt. He wants to see you hurt. He doesn't love you. Oh, He is going to send you somewhere and make a fool out of you. So he doesn't really, there is no God.
Is there a God?
Maybe not.
What is that?
So God is out to get you now. He's not out to help you. So he didn't really send his son to die for you. He just sent his son so he would just make a statement.
No.
And we know all the answers to that. But why ask God why? I know that we can blame it on human nature and instinct, but that still doesn't make it right. When we should be soldiers who can take orders and go. Secondly, a soldier must know his post. A soldier must know his post. And this is my last and final point. You have to be ready for whatever comes your way. You know what truly defines your character? Your spontaneous responses. They're not premeditated. You didn't have time to practice them. You didn't have a heads up. You didn't know they were coming. But something slaps you in the face and says, give me an answer. That is who you are. You can blow smoke if you want to, but that is who you are. You ever heard of, I can see your true color shining through. Is that right? My wife's going to kill me for breaking that little lyric out. You can believe that. She's going to get home and say, what for? Why'd you have to go there? But that's exactly what it is. Your true color are shining through now, aren't they? What you going to do when it's crunch time? Do you believe I get what? People want to see what I do when I get a pop pop. And my thing is this. Watch me if you'd like, but don't watch me to judge me. Watch me to follow. If you're going to watch me and wait on my every word and my every action, that's fine. I can live with that because I'm a soldier. But all I want you to do is don't sit back and be judgmental. I want you to get along and let's go. That's all I ask. Three things. Philip finds his post. Philip fulfills his post. And Philip forgets his post. He says, three. Number one, he finds his post. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Listen. You go to the chariot. God doesn't just lead you down a desert road. But he says, when you get there, I will have more orders for you. Listen, you don't want God to tell you everything. We would be nervous wrecks. You know how you worry about the little details of life right now? How would you and I worry? Or you let God really tell you every little detail. We'd all be on medication. And I'm going to tell you right now, to find your post is what it's all about as a Christian. You'll be a defeated Christian unless you ever find your post. You can talk to these gentlemen and ladies who have served. And had they not done their job at their post, it would have let the entire branch down. And I see here where this soldier, everybody else has already been run out of Jerusalem nearby except for the apostles. Go all the way back to the first part of chapter 8 and read it when you get home. Except for the apostles. I'll stand my ground no matter what. And it is high time we as soldiers pick up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow our captain of salvation. No matter if it's on a desert road in the middle of the night, don't ask questions, just go. And unless we use those tactics, you will never, ever be successful as a Christian. I want to help you, and I want you to help me, that we do this in stride. And when we do come across a place in the road, we deal with it. We don't overlook it. We deal with it, and we keep on moving. I don't know how to stand still. I can't do it. I got to move. I probably could try to stand still up here, but you'd have to cuff me, and I'd ask you what first. If you're going to find your post, let me give you a hint. I can't tell you exactly where your post is, but can I give you a hint of where your post is not? A lot of people stand at a post in which somebody else has created for them, maybe even yourself, and God never told you to go. Let me tell you how you know it's not his post. When's the last time the Holy Spirit of God has spoke to you in that post? When he got to the desert, phase two of God's direction was, I'll be there when you get there. Glory, hallelujah! Ain't that good? I love it. And you know why I know this church here is going to just bust these walls out? And just keep on going? Because God come to my house last time. That's right. I was sitting in my truck yesterday after about 100-hour week, sitting in my truck, I grabbed my Bible. I said, God, I got to have some more me, you, and time. I said, Sunday's coming up. He said, yeah, by the way, it's in the morning. You know, the days just run together, and you're working, and Lord already helped me early in the week. I already knew I was going to preach out of Acts chapter 8 because when I heard about this eunuch from Ethiopia needed to be baptized, and Philip didn't know who he was, and Mr. Word comes and sees me, God said, that's it. That kind of thing there will tell you you're standing at the right post. All right? But if you don't get things like that happening in your life, let me tell you what, you need to get your bag, and you need to get on up out of where you at, and you need to say, God, where you want me at? Because, see, Philip could have went in the desert if he wanted to, but if God wasn't there, bad news. And there's some people who stand right in the middle of the desert because they feel like God told them to be there, and God ain't spoken to you since you've been there. You need to get up and move. Because you're wasting your time, his time, your family's time, everybody else's time, and ain't nothing being done for the kingdom of heaven. So if there ain't nothing moving at your post, you need to be moving. Amen? And don't ask what for. Number two, Philip fulfills his post. He hears God move. The angel speaks to him. He runs over to the chariot. He speaks to the eunuch. And by the way, Candace the queen now is just a dynasty title. It's just like the Ptolemies or Pharaoh is of Egypt. That's not their specific name. That's just their dynasty name. Anyone who is the leader and the king of Egypt is Pharaoh. Same one, whoever the queen of Ethiopia is called Candace the queen. Same thing. Just, that won't cost you anything. That's just a fish. Amen? Now, here's the other thing. So he is high official. And to be a eunuch, we'll get there later, but not today, but a eunuch is someone who had to be extremely committed. Extremely committed. And this eunuch was in charge of her money. But God had been, he had a hunger for God. See, you know what? You can come down here and get saved, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you come for any other reason that you're hungering and looking for righteousness and you know you need a change, it ain't going to work. God will never turn you down, but you got to want it. You got to come after it. And this eunuch drove several hundred miles from Ethiopia, crossed the desert, into Jerusalem, to worship there because he had a hunger to get a change of direction in his life. And God not only blesses this veteran of the cross, but he blesses the eunuch because the eunuch was looking for something other than just a social time. And see, this eunuch went to Jerusalem and worshiped in his religious ways, but he was still on his way to hell. He did not have the Son of God in his heart. And let me give you something here. This is not even in my sermon. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of religious people who stand in Florence County this morning, hailing the King, praising his name, singing in the choir, standing in the pulpit, doing all these things, and they couldn't tell you who Jesus Christ really was if their life depended on it. They're on their way to hell. They're going to bust hell wide open and they're going inside. That's the movement that's storming our country. It's a movement that are just false prophets. Wolves in sheep's clothing. People go to churches more so for the music, more so for the
teen activities, for the youth activities, and don't really give a squat if the preacher's preaching on Jesus, just as long as their child is.
And I want you to hold their hand when your roll is called up yonder and tell them why their name is not on it.
Because dads wouldn't stand up and be the soldiers of the cross they were supposed to. Because moms would not stand up and be the soldiers of the cross they were called to. And I'll tell you right now, if I can get your children, I can get you. Used to be, I get you, I get your children. Those days are gone. And my message, nor anybody else's, will ever reverse. Praise be to God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your focus is not on the King Jesus, when you step into these doors, you come for all the wrong. Everything is complementary. It is all well
a part of this word, prayer, giving of tithes, singing, worshiping, praising His name. But I'll tell you, if you go to a church that does not preach about His gospel and who He truly is, it tells you what you want to hear. It feels good here, but it won't feel good. I want to roll this up. This is the last and final thing I want to leave you with. He fulfills His post by taking the eunuch down and he being baptized. In verse 37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Do you believe that today? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you need to be a member or be known to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives it freely, so we receive it freely. But I will leave you with this final verse, verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. The eunuch goes on to rejoice, but he never saw him again. You know, when you look up called away in this verse and you study it, you know what it treads? It treads rapture. All of a sudden, just Philip was gone. Just like that. You know what that tells me? It tells me that you and I are just like that vapor that the Bible speaks about. That flower that fadeth away. And I don't know where your post is this morning. I don't know what's on your mind right now. But I will tell you, had not Philip taken that opportunity, I ask you this morning, where would the eunuch be today? And I want to also leave you with this thought. When Philip left, he left. Not only did he find his post, not only did he fulfill his post, but there comes a time you've got to forget your post. And what I mean by that is this. If you're leaning on the things you did yesterday, you're in trouble. Yes, use them in your life and learn from them. But just because you led somebody to the Lord a month ago doesn't mean that you can sit very complacently around your post and do nothing. There comes a time you have to forget about those things, chalk that up to the glory of God, and move forward. That's what Philip did. And God even gave him a headquarters there to be an evangelist for him. But he would have never had achieved that had he not left and forgot about what he did yesterday. Leave this here. You ever heard of the candy annihilators? I'm going to leave you with a thought. You're not going to remember nothing else in this service today, but you'll remember this. You might remember what first, and you can, it's amazing what people remember. Sometimes people think, "Tell us, preacher, what, boy, that was good." I said, "Boy, you know, I don't even remember saying that one. That wasn't even my main point, you know." Soldiers don't eat now or later. Two reasons. Number one, they pull your feelings out. Amen. Number two, a soldier knows that the call is now. Later is not an option. See, Philip had a small window. He took it. And the king was captured. Then God took him away. What is your post right now, and how long will you be at that post? Because you're not going to be at that post forever. And maybe you've got a small opportunity, but unless you're fulfilling that post, then the individual or individuals that you were supposed to help will never happen. But what does that leave us with this morning? There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Satan's way, his soldiers, are tomorrow. We can do it tomorrow. Just do it tomorrow. That's our attitude as Americans anyhow, because a lot of the reason we're losing a lot of our work to other countries and other people is because Americans are just some lazy people for the most part. Lazy. And we say, give me a Happy Meal, I'm not going home to cook. And the husband looks at the wife and says, what first? We want it easy. We want it brought to our doorstep. And we want it just so smooth. God gives us all this technology we've got to use. It. Be careful about what you say God gives. Some of it's good, but not that mean necessarily everything's something God has done. And I want to leave you with this thought. If you think that we've got tomorrow, then why are we so pressing on some of the issues that can't wait? See, it is in you to get things done. Some of you are very pressing people. We all have the ability to press. But I ask you today, if you're not a soldier of the cross, why aren't you? It's because you've got tomorrow. And because you're hung up in the wise and said, okay, all right. So, I see where the end of days is here. Please read Revelations if you hadn't read it. Please flip on the news and listen. Please do that, okay? Because we're this close. And if God's kept his promise, this generation that's coming to pass is about gone, and the rapture takes place, and all of a sudden now, Katie Couric and anybody else that's going to be on TV, if they're not a Christian, I don't know who they are, I'm not going to judge them unless I be judged. But if they say, what happened to all these people, you know what they're going to say? Aliens are going to up. It's not going to be because of Jesus Christ. He's being moved out of everything right now. So it's not even going to be that the rapture took place. People are just say aliens coming down, and they're all on Mars or Venus. Isn't that what men and women are supposed to be? They'll finally be divided. But I'm telling you, not joking this morning. Wait till you get to that point, and there won't be any. I don't know how I can stress to you and put emphasis on it that if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get into that. Soldiers, it's now. The flag has been stepped on, it's been spit on, it's been burned, and that breaks my heart. But when they drag the royal banner of God in the ground, that offends. And I believe the time to stand and do something is now. There is no time. There is no time.